Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it's Weekend Geek Update. It's the end of the world as we know it, but I feel fine. We are sponsored by RMC Collectibles Streaming Con, which will be going on Saturday, yours truly, and I am teaming up, yours truly, of course, me, teaming up with Tim for Rocky Mountain Collectibles to do a Streaming Con with the apocalypse going on as it is right now. Him and I came together and decided, well, let's put on a streaming con, because every other con in the planet has been canceled, postponed, or otherwise in limbo. It's definitely a weird part of time right now with everything going on. Some are healthy, some are not. The shelves are empty. But I have coffee, so that's a good start, right? So, the team is in quarantine. Everyone is fine, though. No worries. But to be on the safe and to halt the spread of the coronavirus, everyone is being extra precautious, very careful, and doing our part to make sure that this ends at the end of whatever they're saying it's supposed to. Colorado has been put down in a odd window of lockdown where restaurants and bars are closed for 8 weeks, putting a interesting stress on a lot of our friends and social life and everything else that goes on in this town. So what do you do? Well, you listen to me or us, 5280 Geek, Weekend Geek Update. Give us a like, share us, spread the word. I know there's a lot of choices out there, and I do appreciate you guys tuning in faithfully, religiously. Not that we're a church or anything, but I like to think we give you a smile or make you laugh or give you a moment to pause and go, Especially in the world of geek, there's a lot going on. Well, there was up until about a week or two ago, and then everybody quit. PlanetCon, which was supposed to be going on, not going to be there now because it's on hiatus, along with a few other cons, as I mentioned. So tune in Saturday. We'll be posting more stuff about that as the days progress. There'll be an auction. We'll have cosplayers. We will have artists. We'll have commissions available. It will be a smorgasbord of a con, just way more limited. And a lot of other people are getting in on this. I read an article just this morning that the museum in France, I forget which one, is going to be doing a video tour or opening its doors free to the public. This houses the Van Gogh exhibit, and I'm so excited to see what they have there. I know the Van Gogh thing came through Colorado a couple years ago, and it sold out immediately, and it was a spectacle. It was amazing, the color, the just Van Gogh's vision as an artist, and how he used his shapes and his colors, and the story that his art tells is unique all in itself. But to have this museum in France open its doors and say, here, we're gonna go online, we're gonna post all of our pictures for the exhibits. I'm hoping this turns out really impressively. Sorry, computer is getting hit with messages right now from other posts. So when this museum goes live, I will post the link in 5280's page. So be sure you like this. That way you get the update, and you too can, if you have not seen any of Van Gogh's stuff, here's a chance. And other exhibits that are at this French. Yeah. Evidently not enough coffee yet. Museum in France. There we go. English words have meaning. So, let's do a quick roundup of what's going on. Movies kind of come to a halt. One of the big stories coming out of this is the curse of the X-Men. I read this today, and I think we're going to see more of this as time goes on, but the New Mutants were supposed to be hitting soon, but of course now it has been postponed. This film has been troubled from the start, and I don't know why. The original trailers that I saw looked spectacular. I like the horror take on it. Definitely a unique perspective given the comic and its history and how it all ends for the majority of the New Mutants. The team that they've assembled, however, is pretty impressive. I mean, Macy Williams, of course, from Game of Thrones is on the team, as well as the older brother from Stranger Things. I can never remember that dude's name, which is bad because, you know, I should be able to remember names. But with that said, with the pandemic and everything going on, they have decided to delay it so that they can try and at least get some people into the theater. It was expected to be released on April 3rd, but now we don't know. All, of course, depends on when they decide to say it's safe to resume public interactions and all of that. That said, I have huge hopes for this film. I mean, I don't know if I was ever really a big fan of the New Mutants. I'm more, you know, a fan of what ends up happening to them under the tutelage of the White Queen and how quickly the New Mutants get pretty much well wiped out, in addition to the Hellions, who are all under Emma Frost's charge in the comics. A few of the characters, of course, have, you know, become staples and steadfast, like Magic, Sunspot, Cannonball, Wolfsbane. I'm not sure exactly where she ended up finally in the comics, but, you know, a fair amount of them. Doug, Warlock, Kaput, dead. You know, it's harsh, but it's the X-books for you. The horror take is really what has my interest. Great, it's a story about kids with powers. Been there, seen it, done it. Burned the t-shirt, don't care. The horror aspect of it, just because I want to see something for a comic book film that involves the characters that we're familiar with, but takes it in an entirely different direction. This looks to be that potential. I know they've retooled the script a couple times, and they're trying to make this as close to fan service as possible while taking an all-new approach to the comic. Will it work? Who knows? Maybe it's just rumored and this film's never been made before, and these are just stills from, you know, the pitch that they gave the studio. Who knows? But I want to see this. I really want to see this come to light. I want us to get past the whole X curse. There have been rumors that they're going to try and do X-Men versus Avengers in Phase 4, but I don't see how they're going to do that, because the X-Men are just in such shambles as far as the franchise and all that's concerned. I mean, there's always been, like, the huge problem with Fox, which has also led to the problem with the New Mutants film, because of the transition from Fox into Disney, and, you know, what do we do? We have this project, and people are kind of excited about it, but, you know, with all of the X films tanking as hard as they have, where do you draw the line? Do you start from scratch? Do you try to bring characters back? We all know Hugh Jackman has decided if Wolverine's going to be an Avenger, he'd strap on the spandex one last time and, you know, give us a good grr. But will that happen? I don't know if anyone else can play Wolverine. He's kind of, you know, made the role. Same thing with Iron Man. Robert Downey Jr. can't be replaced. He is Iron Man, let's face it. But is there a potential for a story? Is this just fake fiction? Maybe. I will be watching it closely because I do like the dynamic of the Avengers going against the X-Men. Of course, who do you root for? It does give us the possibility of finally, you know, the friction between mutants and humankind, and with the society, you know, now who knows how this will change everybody's perspective. Everyone always likes to rally around, but when you're dealing with, you know, race issues and all of that, it's always it's heated. It's a very difficult situation to get around. Also in Marvel news, Vin Diesel has let it slip that the Guardians of the Galaxy will be turning up in Thor 4, which only makes sense. At the end of Avengers, he sails off. He sails off to the Seven Stars with the Guardians, and it would be stupid. It would be stupid of them not to have the Guardians in Thor. Let's face it. Thor is good on his own, but he does need a good supporting cast. And we are jonesing for Guardians. In fact, I'm probably more excited about a Guardians film than I am a Thor film at this point. There are questions. There are things that need to be answered. The fallout from Thanos, what happens with his army, what all goes on. Because, I mean, he just all of a sudden up and retires. I mean, he's living on his own planet, destroys the stones. What happens to the army? Where did they all go? I think it leaves a huge vacuum that could lead to some very intriguing stories and developments, and we could maybe see some other cosmic characters that we've been jonesing for. I wouldn't mind seeing a Herald or two show up out of this. Well, of course, everyone is clamoring for Adam Warlock. We've already got more characters from the Kree and the Shi'ar and now the Skrull, so maybe we'll see some developments. I do want to see Adam Warlock, of course. I mean, I've been a huge Warlock fan for ages. I mean, he was awesome in his first appearance in Fantastic Four, Thor, when he finally faced off against him, which only makes sense. So we could maybe see a classic Adam Warlock Thor face-off that we had in the comics, which would be kind of, that would actually be very cool. Anyway, moving on. With Vin Diesel letting this out, that there's a good chance that the Guardians will be making an appearance in the next upcoming Thor film. There's also rumor as far as the delays for Guardians of the Galaxy 3, since James Gunn just finished up his project with the Suicide Squad for DC. He's waiting for everybody to get back together and start on this. I think they're also waiting to see what comes out of Thor. The problem is, I think everyone has been away from the properties for a while, that they're kind of trying to do a scramble and figure out, what do we do? Where are we going? What happens? How do you follow up the biggest 10-year arc in cinematic history? You don't. You start new. You start fresh. And I honestly think with Black Widow coming out next month, we'll get kind of a closure for Infinity War, because that's, a precursor, or it's in between. I don't know where they're placing this in the timeline, and I think it's right after the snap, and, the world is still kind of falling apart. And Black Widow goes home. So, of course, she has to die to get her own film, which seems a little unfair. So we'll see. I'm sure we'll see other Marvel characters. Hopefully Cap makes an appearance. I'd like to see Hawkeye show up in it. We do finally get Taskmaster, who I have been screaming, literally screaming for years. Ever since the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. premiered on TV, it made absolute sense for us to get Taskmaster. He's a powerful enough villain, but he's not super powerful that he could, completely tip the scale on the Avengers. Of course, in the comics, he gives him a good run for the money, but overall, he's just a mercenary. And to have him show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., in my mind, made a lot of sense. They could have dragged that story out with him for a while, just not even as an agent of Hydra, but just somebody who, hired Taskmaster, who was taking him on and just being a royal pain in the ass. So we'll see. I don't know about the costume choice, and again, cinematic reasons. Some things translate better than others from the comics, and it's iffy, and it's always hard to tell. But so far, what I've seen for Black Widow, I'm sold. Taskmaster had me at task. I'm in. But is there a story? Maybe. We'll see. Also following up, we will be seeing Natalie Portman return as Jane Foster in the new Thor film, and her becoming the new Thor. This is interesting. I'm curious how they're going to pull this off, since the hammer got destroyed, and of course, Thor's running around with Stormbringer now. How does Jane Foster get to her Thor version? Do we get the hammer back? That would be even cooler. For some strange reason, it just, you know, decides to reassemble itself like Lego. But I'm excited to see their choice for costuming. If they follow with the comic book, and I think they should follow the comic book very closely on this, because her design for her costume was inspiring. It was amazing. The mishmash of classic Thor, current Thor, and a feminine take on it was just absolutely perfect. Please, please, Marvel, follow with that, because if you don't, you're missing out on a huge, huge opportunity. But, you know, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Also, in filming news, more adjustments because of the coronavirus. Avatar has stopped filming due to the coronavirus. And I had to stop and laugh, because I'm like, they're still filming this thing? The longest filmed sequel probably in history. Even the team over at Star Wars is sitting there scratching their head going, what the fuck? Do we care? I guess, maybe. Not that, you know, of course, them postponing because, you know, they're filming in New Zealand. I get that. Everyone, yes, be safe above all else. But how long have they been filming this project? I mean, I know Cameron is a stickler for effects and all of that, and maybe it'll break box office records again, but I think at some point you start to stop caring. I mean, we can see it in a lot of the other franchises. I mean, poor Terminator has suffered probably one of the most brutally at the hand of time, in addition to Predator and Alien. I mean, these were great stories back in the day. They made their mark, and at some point, you just either progress the story or abandon it. Rehashing it, and I don't know what Cameron's got in mind for this, and maybe it'll be impressive, but good Lord, this is just ridiculous. I mean, thank God it's all CGI, because none of the actors probably, you know, look the same at this point. But again, they have postponed their filming along with Supernatural. Supernatural's on hiatus, which I'm curious to see what they're going to be doing. Giving the, I honestly thought that they would have more in the can on Supernatural. They know they're this is their final season, and the end is nigh for them. And I figured they would have had everything kind of in the bag, done and ready to go. But evidently, these shows are shot so close to release that they don't have that many in the can, and they're kind of postponing the end of it. How that's going to affect the story will be a good question. I'm not sure what they've got in that regard. So we'll keep a close eye on it for you and let you know. And if Avatar resumes with a team, yeah, okay, we'll see. Also, going along with TV news, the Westworld premiered this week. No spoilers, not going to give anything away, but holy shit. Totally on board for season 3. Totally excited. This is just good shit. Oh my God. I didn't realize how much I missed it until sat down, watched the premiere. I've been trying to watch some of the HBO shows, and Avenue 9 has just, I tried. I really did. And I want to like it. And it's Hugh Laurie. And we already know my love for Hugh Laurie and Blackadder and all of that. House, of course. But it wasn't funny. I mean, there's parts, and I went 2 episodes and I didn't laugh, and the show didn't go anywhere. And I'm just like, okay, and it's been renewed. And I'm like, why? Why? Maybe it'll get better, but I can't. Some of the characters I can take. Hugh Laurie's character, of course, is absolutely endearing. And the way Hugh Laurie keeps flip-flopping back and forth between accents, and how he acts and responds and reacts to everything is classic. So well done by Hugh, but I expect that. Heath's not my problem. He's doing the best that he can, but the writing on this is just so... Ugh. And then, of course, I was watching The New Pope, and that is just... I'm waiting now, because I tried watching it episode at episode, and it's just so heavy, and Malkovich is great. Even poking fun at himself in one of the episodes is classic. And I love it. Of course, I didn't see because this is season 2 for The New Pope, but I didn't see the first season, and maybe there's some kind of disconnect for me on it, but I'm really enjoying this, but it's just so heavy that I think I need to binge watch this one, and I would recommend the same for you. Just let them get them all out, because there's a lot of detail that I know I'm missing, and I'm forgetting stuff because it's just so heavy of a watch. That said, back to Westworld. First one's up next week. Can't wait. There is a buddy of mine that's an extra, Mike McIntosh, who is in there. I haven't seen him yet, but he says keep an eye out for him. So congrats, Mike. Well done. And look forward to seeing you, a robot get blown up. I don't know. I'm curious to see what he's doing. Also in television news, wow. Okay. Real quick, I know we haven't reported on The Walking Dead for some time, and there's reasons to be. With Kirkman invading the writer's room and the weird direction, the hard right The Walking Dead took left a lot of us kind of like, eh. I know most members on the podcast have given up on Walking Dead. Red, Aaron wasn't like a really big fan, and Tao really didn't care. I have held on. From the beginning of collecting the comic, seeing it all the way through, seeing it to the end, beginning to end for The Walking Dead, I felt the TV show had earned the least respect of years prior to see it through, and I'm glad I did. And here's why. I know it's been a weird disconnect from the comic, Rick dying, Carl gone, and... Spoilers? No? I'm sure you've seen this by now. The take on the Whisperers, which is creepy, and it's done a weird take away from the comic, but it's also shown just how powerful and threatening and deadly the Whisperers can be with a horde behind them. And to see this week's episode was worth it. I mean, the writing has improved. The character development has gotten back on track. We're seeing Daryl back to normal. Carol going completely off the rails again, but in a way that it makes sense. The revelation of Ezekiel, how they're dealing with all of the characters seems a little bit more natural and a little more compelling than it was before. With them able to focus on an outside source besides sitting and brooding and, you know, being catty with each other. The Whisperers was perfect, and how they brought them in and how they've executed this season. Tora Birch added to the cast was great, and of course Beta, who is probably the single most creepiest motherfucker on the planet. If I saw that guy coming at me, I would probably poop a lot. He is spectacular. I do want to see a rematch between him and Daryl. For now, I'll deal with, you know, an Alpha and Daryl fight, which we got a couple weeks ago, which wasn't bad. I mean, it was fine. But this week, holy hell. Walking Dead got back to what they were good at, and it wasn't the killing for the shock factor. It was the shock factor of the kill and what happened. We lost some major, major characters that I honestly didn't... I thought they were safe. And that was what made The Walking Dead so good. You never knew if their job was safe. You didn't know who was expendable. Of course, Daryl, Carol, and you figure the core four are safe. But now, after this week's episode, there was so much carnage and so, so much destruction. I did like, I know this is going to probably be a spoiler, but Hilltop's gone. And it's about time. I was impressed. They burnt that fucker to the ground, and it was glorious. It reminded me of when they burnt the barn down on Herschel's farm, and it all just came down. And it was, I liked that they had a plan. They knew where they were going. It wasn't like when the prison went up, there was no plan B. It was just everybody made a mad scramble. This time, at least, there was a rendezvous point. It all made sense. They were better prepared, which they should be at this point. What happened in the Whisperer's camp, however, was even more stupendous. And Negan, for all of his faults, and we know there's plenty, the role that Negan plays in all of this is good. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, I tip my hat off to you, because damn, you are just too smooth for words. And how he just gets in there, and the final scene for everything on Alpha and Carol and the whole plan, I was just dumbstruck. I was like absolutely shocked as far as what that played out. So if you haven't watched this last week's episode on Sunday, please do. It is, even if you like us, have kind of turned a blind eye to The Walking Dead, at least come back for this episode that aired on Sunday, because it is worth the time, the fight, the whole flaming mess of it. Last thing on television news, and another show that I'm completely pumped about, has been Flash. Since Crisis happened, total chaos, and I'm really liking what they're doing with The Flash. It's probably one of the best seasons that they have produced, story-wise, how they're developing the story, the characters, and everything post-Crisis, even going into Crisis. I mean, it got a little mishmashy, kind of, you know, too many feels, not enough, okay, we're getting ready for Crisis, how do you get ready for it? It's like, you know, the bomb is going to drop, you don't know how to prepare for it. So it was a little awkward, and it was an odd vacuum that they got kind of shoved into. Now the Crisis is done, the aftermath and some of the lasting effects are starting to be seen, and it's playing really well. And of course, the whole time I've been asking, where's Wally? Well, we finally get Wally, and we finally get an answer to what he's up to. He's still a speedster. Somehow he just missed out on Crisis, which was kind of still strange in my book, but how many characters can you shoehorn into, you know, a major crossover event? You know, all of the legends were missing for the most part, so you run out of space, and I get it. But I still think having Wally out of the loop on this was kind of a miss. Crisis was great. It had all the nerd feels and made me feel good. Of course, Firestorm was missing, made me feel a little bit bad. How it ends, of course, with Arrow's departure, the end of the Arrow series, and it looks like, you know, the ring for Green Lantern landing in front of Diggle. We don't get any answers for that. I'm sure that's just going to hang out there ambiguously for a while till they figure out what they want to do. Now, with Flash, they've added some great components, because not only has Flash's rogue gallery rebuilt itself, but it has also brought in some great new characters and nuances that I think are a little more comic book focused. For example, Pied Piper is back to being a villain. Of course, we haven't seen Pied Piper since season one, season two, and he's a critical character in Wally's early years and Barry's years formidably, until he, you know, reforms and becomes, you know, a productive citizen and all of that. So I'm hoping, as we have seen, the Rogues Gallery is kind of coming back. We're in the midst of Mirror Master, and this has been a great story, and they're not giving anything away, and it's building up. In addition to, we've got Zoom back finally, and you know what? Say what you will, I don't care if every season there's a speedster villain. I'm fine with that, but at least kind of give me something to provoke me, or, you know, to make me think about it. And Zoom coming back, and the whole interaction between him and Barry of, you know, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your family. and then I'm going to kill your friends, and I'm going to do it all in front of you. And just Zoom is just so good, and I love his character. Of course, he's locked up, and he'll be getting out, and we'll see what happens on this week's episode as we progress in the story and we start coming close to the end of the season, and how is it going to end? Of course, the Speed Force is not what it used to be, and Barry may be facing some very terminal futures in the way of his speed. So, it's this season, like I said, it's worth a watch. I've enjoyed it thoroughly, and I think it's one of the best comic book stories going on. Legends has gotten hokey. They've embraced their hokiness. They don't take themselves seriously, and that's fine, and it's lighthearted, and you know, it has a message. Supergirl's hit or miss for me, and Black Lightning season ended, and it was respectable. I was fine with Black Lightning. They did a great job for bringing a character back. Not sure how I feel about Stargirl on the horizon, but when that airs, I'll be sure to give you an update. Moving along to comic book news, Geoff Johns on Jason Babak teases DC's Three Jokers comic in exclusive interview. They're talking in this interview about the Three Jokers. Of course, this is to coincide with the Joker's birthday, and it's a three-issue miniseries. Final cutoff for it, FOC, I think, was this week. I wouldn't be sure. I have to double-check that one, but reach out, contact your local comic book shop, or check online, because this is going to be awesome. They are finally, and we've talked about this on the podcast a couple of times, with the hanging low fruit of, you know, there are three Jokers in the Watchmen storyline and everything that's gone on, that Batman's Joker is not the only Joker that he's faced across. And they just kind of left it out there, and now we're finally getting back to it. And I can't wait to see what they have in store for us. Just reading it, I mean, it's hard enough for Batman to handle one Joker, but to handle three at the same time, I think might be more than he's prepared for. And after seeing how successful the Batman Who Laughs series and the impact of proper writing. I mean, there are no bad characters, there's just bad writers, or there's just bad stories. And I don't think that with who they've got behind this is going to disappoint. I mean, we're looking at Alan Moore level writing, and this is going to pull directly from, you know, like Batman's tragic history, you know, death in the family, killing joke especially. And even the cover is the three different Jokers facing off against Batman, and it looks just like the Killing Joke cover. So it's an homage to all of that. So we'll see. Tom King has done great work. So when he was running Batman last year, and everything that was going in with Thomas Wayne coming in, and Batman Who Laughed, and the whole that whole year, it was solid. I mean, even the wedding between him and Catwoman, all of it just it fit together so well. And Bane taking over, finally getting his shot at the city, it just worked so well. And I'm excited to see what he's got. I can't go any further, because there's nothing else. Get on board. If you don't have a hold slot, reach out to a comic book store, because you're going to want to get in on this. You're not going to want to miss them. I know there's going to be a ton of variant covers for this, various artists doing this. The issue, the first one, will be out June 17th. So there will be a mad rush. I can guarantee it, just knowing how comic book fans are. Of course, it's only three issues. You're not going to be out a whole lot of change on this. What else we got going? Video games. Well, as the coronavirus rages, the servers are tapped out, maxed out. I know I was in I was doing Grand Theft Auto the other night, and that room was packed. I mean, obviously everyone is killing time. You got nothing else better to do. So the infinite wisdom that Star Wars is, Battlefront 2 is now offering double XP during the month, at least until March 27th. Dollars to donuts are going to extend this. I would be surprised if they stopped before the quarantine. They want people to play. They want people engaged. And you know what? This is a great idea. Star Wars Battlefront 2, good game. I love the patches, everything, the download content. Great. Good stuff. Good content. And I know tons of people that are still playing this. Of course, I've been stuck on doing Red Dead Redemption 2 and Gears, of course. Online Gears has been awesome. So good. Some of the content that they've been doing on that, definitely worth playing. So I think at this point, it's great to just find a game, saddle up, get online, and just, you know, wait for all of this to blow over. Or go down to the Winchester, have a pint. Whichever you like. This, actually, I haven't played too much of Battlefront 2. I have it. I like the premise. But all things, I mean, it just hit at the wrong time for me. I mean, I still picked it up. Don't get me wrong. Did the campaign. Did all of that. But it quickly got swallowed up by a couple of the other games that I had going on. With E3 getting canceled, which doesn't surprise me. And I mean, I think, honestly, this probably plays better into the manufacturers. Of course, half of the company couldn't even get to the States because of when the virus and all of that hit. They're already in quarantine. They're not coming over from Japan, which is fine. I think you're going to see a whole reshaping of how they do E3 because of companies refusing to go, people boycotting it. It just changed the vibe altogether when they went to the mass public and, you know, companies just like, we're done with it. Hopefully this will bring them back. I've already seen video of the new Xbox that's going to be released. I'm going to wait till I get a little bit more information. And I also want Aaron and Tao in on this conversation because I want their take on it. The new Xbox looks spectacular as far as what I've seen for the specs. The box itself is very reminiscent of, you know, the current Xbox, but its capabilities are astounding. So when I get more information and I can see some actual, you know, hardcore evidence of it, I'll bring it up, and I want the rest of the team in on this one. Because I don't think I can do it justice, and it needs its own special highlight. Also in video game news, in case you missed it, and we did post this up, there is my love for Samurai Jack is beyond all others. I love Samurai Jack. Phil LaMarr voices the character, who's a glorious person, and this character is great. It ran for 4 seasons and had 52 episodes. And from it only being from 2001 to 2004, it really it hit at the right time. It was the golden age, if you will, for Cartoon Network. They had like this unstoppable juggernaut of things that people wanted to watch. It was strange. Now they don't, and it's void of lifelessness now, and it's boring. But they did try and bring back a final and fifth season in 2017, and it was great. Made me sad and how they finally did end it. But you don't have to worry about that anymore because there is a video game coming. Adult Swim has decided to team up with Soleil Games, and will be coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, Nintendo Switch this summer. So it looks like you get to play Jack and you're going through all the different times, like Wild West, future, past, of course trying to defeat a coup. The art on this looks great. The character design is awesome. I'm so on board for this. I can't wait. It is also in very good hands. Derek Bachman, who is the individual who wrote the original cartoon series, will be who did the video game. He wrote the story for this. So it's not like someone else's take. So that puts even more credence to the character, to the story, and everything that they're working on. So I think if they hold true and they don't get any, you know, weird power or push on from power play people across the planet and all of that, this game's going to be solid. I know And I kind of compare it to Battle Chasers, another comic-turned video game that was a huge hit for me. I know it kind of flew under the radar for most, which is kind of a shame. It was a really good game, turn-based, and it just had such an amazing feel of Final Fantasy and modern game mechanics. It really played so well. And the only shortcoming of that game was it so short. I mean, it really could have been so much bigger. Maybe DLC, something to add to it, more characters, something to get off of the island. It seemed rather short, and I understand you're working on a budget and you only can do so much, but I still think that you could revisit that game and just give us some DLC, maybe. Anyway, that said, Samurai Jack, be sure. I'm sure that there's probably already... Oh, somebody's calling the studio, and we don't know who they are. So we will put that on mute. The Samurai Jack game, I'm sure, is already available for pre-order. I would say get out there, get your pre-order on this. Hopefully they've got some kind of early collector's editions available for this, because I can only imagine, Samurai Jack statue, need one more. The shelf's a little in balance, which sucks. So when I went to E3, they had the Samurai Jack statue with him on one of the horses. It looked like Ukla the Mox horse from Thundar the Barbarian. It's the only statue out of the Samurai Jack line that I don't have, because I have the three stages of Jack as he's, you know, a kid, a young adult, and then full-blown Jack, and a couple of others, but that one's my favorite. I never was able to land Jack on the horse, which, of course, there it was, big box, and yeah, it was a little price-heavy. It's like, I'll keep looking. Never know, but it's out there. I'll keep looking. Any chance to add to the Samurai Jack collection, I'm all about. What else we got going on? The halting of... Hold on. The halting of cons has impacted a lot more people than you would think. Not only, of course, the convention itself, which a lot of them are postponing, they're rebuilding, they'll come back, it's fine. Travel industry always finds a way to survive. However, with cons on hiatus, I know that a lot of Kickstarters, people that build their income, their livelihood, their worlds, have been hugely impacted by this. There are two Kickstarters this week that I want to talk to you about that are so worth your attention. And with the cons on hiatus, they have no way of really getting out there. I know they would normally be, you know, at the cons. They would be promoting their books, promoting the Kickstarter, and we'll put the links for these two Kickstarters in the comments, so you can at least check it out, give it a look, see if it's something you want to support, because it is independent art at its best, and it is so worthy of your attention that you're missing out if you don't get in on this. Because it's spectacular stuff. The first one I want to talk to you about is, we were going to have Joe Vallon on, and unfortunately with everything that went on, he and I decided that, you know what, just take it easy. You don't have to get in on this. Don't. We'll revisit with them. The Kickstarter goes for a little while, only because of when they started it, and thank God. But his character that he showed me for this comic is spectacular. We were at MiniCon when he showed it to me, and it is... I have to give it to him. The character's name is Fibber, and it's very niche, and it's very cool. It's in space, and he's this little alien with a fin on his head, and it just screams, like... When I looked at it, the first thing I thought of was like Invader Zim with some of the art style. There's a sentient ship that is involved, and I don't want to give away any spoilers, but how this whole story reads and unfolds is spectacular. With the characters, with the character designs, Joe's story has been spectacular. There's still 21 days as of right now up for this Kickstarter, and their goal is only $2,500. They're about halfway there, and they could really use your help, because I honestly want to see this progress. The story is, I know Joe will tell me the story, but I want to see it. I want to hold it. I'm a tactile person. I want to hold the book in my hand. I want to caress it. I want to cradle it. That really sounds creepy, but you get the idea. The art, like I said, is awesome, and I'm sure if they can get some stretch goals in there, if they can hit their finish line and add to it, it'll be worth it. The artist, I'm uncertain of at the moment, and that's my bad, but what he has done and how he has brought these characters to life is fun. It's sharp. The coloring and his choice of palette has been... It's very complimentive, and it works so well for the character design, and it's very smart. It's very well put together, and it's fun. So check that out. The other Kickstarter comes from my buddy from Wannabe Press. A couple years ago, I had a story published through Russell and his group. He was on the podcast ages ago, like 3 or 4 Denver Comic Cons ago now at this point. Scary Shit. Scary Stories Tell in the Dark and all of that. And of course, I have my story in there with Zach Skellington complimenting with his artwork. Since then, he has done a couple of more anthologies, and Russell is a machine when it comes to these. I am so impressed with his work ethic and what he produces. Russell's main drive is going to these cons and pushing his projects. He's very artist focused, he's very writer focused, and it's all about the story. It's all about what he is expressing. A couple of years ago, he did an anthology called Cthulhu is Hard to Spell, which I thought was brilliant. And the take that he had on it were a bunch of different Cthulhu-based stories from different writers and artists. Same thing with the horror anthology that I was privileged to be part of. So, now, this year, he is doing Cthulhu the Terrible Twos. So, Cthulhu is Hard to Spell. Now it's round two. The stories, and I've seen the advance copy on this, it is... awesome. The again, horror anthology, so there are so many different takes, there's so many different things that go into this. He has a lot of different stretch goals set. Right now, there are only 9 days left to this Kickstarter, and he is so close. His goal is 25,000. He is currently sitting at 23,921. So, without the cons, he's so close that I know he can, you know, it's right there, and he doesn't want it to lose it. Check it out. Be part of, you know, the local industry. Be contribute. Be engaged, because this is where it all starts. When you get your independent publishers, and it's so hard to put a book together. It is not something that you can do on a whim. It takes dedication, vision, and a very large amount of skill. You just can't luck your way through it. This, I can promote and stand behind 100% just because of the originality and the skill that goes into it. I was going to talk about... his other works, but you know what? Focus on this. Russell is always at cons. You can't miss him. And when he comes back through town for Denver Comic Con, we'll sit down with him. We'll have him back on to talk about it. But for right now, click on the links. Give him some love. Anything helps. Anything. Especially when you're that close to your end goal. Just a couple bucks. I mean, I don't want to sound like Sarah McLachlan and, you know, the poor pets at the end of the night, but they can use your help. Give them a little push, especially right now. I was going to talk about the IDW Games Batman the Animated Series tabletop, but that actually funded, and their Kickstarter is done. I cannot wait for this to come out, and it looks spectacular as far as the miniatures. There was a lot of stretch goals involved in this, and as far as I know, they hit every single one. So we are going to finally get a Batman the Animated Series tabletop game, and it kind of looks familiar to me with the Ghostbusters tabletop game, and the layout, and the character design, and the missions, which is great, just because I'm dying to play. You know, it looks like every character is available that you can think of for this series that's playable. So check that out. I know it's on IDW's page, unless they've taken it down since it's funded, and now it's time to go to work. Time to make the games. What else have we got? That's kind of it at the moment with the world as it is. Not in flames yet, but definitely running short of TP. Not me, but, you know, other people. Stay safe. If you have any comments, questions, or if there's anything we can help promote for you during this time as a author, as an artist, please reach out to me. Let us know. We'll be happy to help any way we can. We'll be happy to promote you. We'll be happy to share your links on the page. We'll get you as much exposure and keep you in people's minds since you're not out there. Settling back at home and nestled in, we'll get you taken care of on that story. So if there's anything else, if I missed it, I'm sorry. It's a little weird just doing this by yourself. I do miss the team. Everyone sends their love, but, you know, Red's hunkered down in her fort. Aaron's probably passed out drunk somewhere. And Tal, well, you know, she's saving orphans. And on that bombshell, we shall say goodbye, because in the end, we're all stories. So, make it a good one.